You know, with me experiencing being a transformation coach, I've discovered that people really want to be better. And a lot of times people are not shown the way, but they're thrown into the way. Of any sorts, we have to meet people right there, right where they are. That's the only way we'll be able to really push for effective change. We really want to be better, and we got to help each other get there, y'all, because the world needs to see it.
Welcome to another episode of Brave Bridging Humans. It's the place where the people get to hear you and the world get to see it. What's up, Bridges? How y'all doing? We're back for another episode, and I'm so excited about this episode. I'm here with a friend of mine. We have built friendship over a number of years now, man. Seven.
Who's counting? Right.
Who counts? We over half a decade. Yeah. But I'm so excited to be on this episode with him. And thank y'all for tuning in to another episode. This season, of course, we're all about showing our scars. And I'm just so excited to have my friend and my brother Brian Wilkes on the show. What's up, B?
I'm good, man.
How you doing?
Man, I'm good. Excited. In a new space of expose my scars.
So yes. I love it. Today we're going to discuss and kind of go into a discussion. Brian is a communicator. Yeah. He is a communicator and.
To a fault.
Every one of, I have a lot of clients, and I love and appreciate all of my clients, but I have ones that I specifically look forward to seeing, and I look forward to communicating with. He is one of those people. We probably about 20 minutes or so, we have kind of church in the church, right?
Yeah. Church, you kind of met me. Good hair, y'all. For sure.
Good hair. A fine text. He had a fine text.
Life started to life. And God started to God. And so he said, let it go. And then you helped me transition in my 30s, literally 2 weeks prior to go to this new look.
I remember.
And now we are in a new space.
Yes.
We're going to some new looks as well.
Yeah.
And kind of redefining and showing our scars.
That look like, oh my God, I love it, B. And today, we're going to talk about redefining success, what it means to thrive in your lane. Specifically as Black men, I think we're coming off of having to show up a certain way and having to be a certain way for everybody else and kind of coming into our own, man. And so I wanted this episode to specifically show and highlight, you know, everybody in their own lane. One thing I do now, B, is I ask a lot of younger guys, specifically somebody that kind of bordering out of their 20s into their 30s. I asked one the other day. I said, man, do you have any specific thoughts or feelings that to which how you're supposed to be when you turn 30. He was like, well, yeah, man, I need to do that. I said, bro, you know, begin to try to, he's like 28. Mm-hmm. I said, begin to free yourself from that because we just don't know, you know, what life is going to bring. And I think that we have come off of a linear way. Like you have your career by this mm-hmm. this age, you know, you're married by this age, you know, you got the house and 2.5 kids by this age. And we've come off of that. You know, and everybody's kind of building their own. So that's what this episode is about, like redefining success, what success look like. And I brought my friend and my brother on. I'll let him tell y'all what he do and who he is. But I know he has a journey, and y'all will see in a little bit. But before I get off into the episode, man, what's on your mind, B? What's on your mind, man?
Man, I'm excited to be here. We are what? 3 months and had a conversation like, hey, mm-hmm. B, get on.
Yes,
and now we're here with these crazy schedules that we both have.
Yes.
But excited, have not really been on a platform of this magnitude to really showcase My scars.
I'm excited about that.
So
yeah.
That's kind of my
I'm honored. I'm honored, and I'm excited about that. This is Ray Bridging Harriman's, the place where the people get to hear you and the world get to see it. And if you have not already subscribed, please like and subscribe the episode and share it with a friend. Share it with a friend. This show specifically, Brian, I want to give people like you and I space to be able to share. And so that's the basis. That's the foundation of what this is. That's what it looks like. So I'm so excited, man. And I'm honored that you are brave enough to come on, man, and share your story and share parts of you that the world needs to see. You know, my tagline is the world needs to see it. You know, I know we have
magnetism.
Yeah. and we have certain conditionings and certain things that we know we have to show up in the world as, but I think the things that people don't see.
Yeah.
Those are the things that really define us, really make us. So that's what this is about. But, you know, what's on your mind, B? What's on your mind, bro?
Man, like I said, here excited, man. Just have circus, of course. A million things.
Oh, it is.
Work is on my mind for tomorrow because I have not really been in the office for a week. That's kind of where I'm at, you know.
Cool.
Then food. It's probably the obvious thing. Food and drink. Yeah.
Of course.
I'm a foodie. Of course. And I'm a bourbon lover.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes.
I have trip tonight with today, but I'm a bourbon lover.
You know. I try to have a little decorum. I know people be like, bro, you, cause me, I'll start in the morning with the bourbon. I will. I ain't gonna lie. I'll start, you know, but I said, you know, it's Sunday, it's brunch day, so okay. We'll start, you know, here and then kind of transition.
Okay.
but like,
listen, I go full throttle.
Full throttle. I got it. I get it. You know. Morning. I get it. Right. I'm gonna tell you, like.
But so, Brandon, I would say what I have gotten into over the past few months is hot tea. So those who do not know me well, I'm a very brisk talker, fast talker, and I caught myself in certain settings, like really going like 95 nothing. And so tea has been something, I think mentally, that has kind of calmed me down. And so I feel more at with it. So there's a tea shop back in Mississippi called PJ's, New Orleans style.
Okay.
But they have this tea called a Gray Age Earl Tea.
Okay.
And I love it with lots of honey and sweetener. But it is a in the shop burger. But it's
you,
really
you
good.
Said that to me, and I was like, "Wow, I've never like seen that."
Yeah,
I've
never seen me that. Even until I tried it.
Okay, okay.
And so yeah.
Wow! I love that. I love that. And
only the bourbon only on weekends and after work. So
yeah, because we're getting in shape, right?
Yeah,
and that's something we kind of
and liquor holds weight. You know,
it holds weight. Yes. And something that Brian and I, we do loosely, y'all. We really kind of hold each other accountable. Like, bro, what's up, bro? You working out again? Like, we back in the gym? Yeah. Brian has he's lost a significant amount of weight. And I have too. And we just, you know, it's so important for us as Black men to make that a part of the conversation. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Make that a part of the conversation. And I feel like that's what we've done.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? I think that even on days where we're not even thinking about that, we find a way to kind of circle back.
Yeah, like you saw me, Raymond, at my heaviest, at least my version of heaviness, and then see me kind of cut all the way out and then gain a little bit back and then now in a space where getting back to a place where I feel comfortable at. And I think that comfortability, the initialness was, I went through a breakup.
Okay.
And I went to the gym like we all do.
Mm-hmm.
And to lose weight, obviously. And so now it has not really been about that piece, but about like, I want to feel good about myself.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so, I'm responsible, we'll get more into it, for a lot here and what I do in the city as a career. And so 6 a.m. on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday is my mental space.
Yes.
Where I go in and release literally stress to be able to tackle what I call the needs of the city.
Wow! Yeah. Wow! I love that, B. Yeah. I love that. I love that. And would you consider that kind of like a or do you consider that like a piece of like meditation for you, or
for sure.
piece of
for
sure. that kind of like Zen moment?
Yeah,
for, like if you will.
Yeah, 6 to 7. I'm in the gym. And I have my things I do, of course. But it's a struggle. Let's start that sport. Like at 6 in the morning, it's a struggle to get up and commit myself to that work. But what I've seen, what it's done for me over the past 3 years, it has allowed me to show up in this workspace, professionally and personally, as a much more calmer version of me. And okay. so when okay. life starts to life,
absolutely.
I'm not so in tune with frustrations in that moment. Mm-hmm. But it's happened for sure. Yeah.
Wow! Yeah. Wow! I love that. I love that. And you know, and we will talk. We will definitely talk. That's just important. I think important specifically as we before I turn the camera on today, we kind of talked about where we are and we're kind of like in a redefining moment, especially for Black men. And the heavily divisive, heavily political climate we're in, heavily. A cultural climate we're in, I think that it's so important that a lot of us kind of buckle down, if you will, mm-hmm. and just kind of show some defining moments of, okay, this is who we are. We are here, we ain't going nowhere, and we're gonna show you who we are, right?
Yeah.
Right, so, but anyway, yeah, so, but let's get into the episode of Redefining Success. Brian, if you could share with the Bridgers, this is something I ask everybody because I like for people to kind of meet community, like meet you where you are okay. specifically. So if you could share with the Bridgers outside of any, now I'm going to ask you about your accomplishments. I'm going to ask you about what you do for a living, okay. but I want you to be able to share like outside of everything, anything you own, anything you have accomplished. Who is Brian? Who are you as a person?
I'm a lot.
Okay. Wow.
I'm
okay.
a lot for
Come on,
sure.
Tell us.
I'm a proud guy from Mississippi. And I'm unapologetically proud to be from a small town, but big in my heart, called Prentice, Mississippi, Jefferson Davis County, just 30 miles south of Hattiesburg. I am a foodie. So I love food, man. So any given day, like, collard greens, cornbread, candy, chicken.
You going in.
Like,
you go for the items.
I can go for it. And then I'm knocked out for a couple of hours, right?
Yeah.
But a big music guy. And so neo soul, R&B is my thing. And then sometimes, you know, I love Glow too, you know.
Okay.
And Money Bag for sure.
Switch it up. Okay,
yeah.
okay. Switch it up a little.
A little bit, you know.
Yeah.
I am a guy that loves people.
Yes.
That is the core of who I am. There's something about me that's a giver.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the reverse around where I'm gonna give to receive.
Mm-hmm.
But I love to give, and you know, I always say I'm a cool guy. Your nephew, your cousin,
yes.
your uncle,
yes, you know.
From Mississippi.
We some ops now.
Right.
You know,
Who love to have a good time, mm-hmm. you know, and I am more than what you will learn of me in terms of my career for sure. But in the snippet, that's who I am, man. Yeah.
So what do you do for the Bridgers to see? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do as a Black man living in Memphis, Tennessee? Where do you work? What do you do?
I am the director for talent, innovation, and programs for the Greater Memphis Workforce Development Board. That's a lot, right?
Right.
And so what we do as an organization is that we oversee workforce development.
Okay.
So we are the driving arm of what does that look like for Greater Memphis.
Okay.
And that's a region. So that's West Tennessee.
Okay.
So that's Shelby County, Tipton, Lauderdale, Fayette. And so in high level view, so much of our dollars goes to the feds, right? And so some of that portion goes to the Department of Labor.
Okay.
That money, it trickled down to states like Tennessee.
Okay.
To their Department of Labor.
Okay.
And then that money trickled down to local areas like Greater Memphis, West Tennessee. And so I manage, along with an amazing team, workforce development. And so we oversee the full operations mm-hmm. of the American Job Centers across wow. West Tennessee. I'll be like, what's the American Job Center? The unemployment office.
Gotcha,
so,
gotcha.
SNAP
gotcha.
Benefits, gotcha. Food stamps, gotcha. You know, a career pathway, you need a job, can't find a job, right? And so all things workforce development related. I have the pleasure to overseeing roughly $20-something million budget per year with probably having full oversight of maybe 170-180 staff members. All don't report to me directly, but having full oversight to ensure that what you need in terms of workforce development, we have it at your disposal.
Wow, that's huge. That's actually huge. That you just laid that out. I know everybody like,
yeah.
He really.
and I, honestly, Raymond, I say I blessed up.
Okay.
I came to Memphis with no aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
It was to get here, found a job, because I got laid off my job. And to fast forward it, what almost 7 years later, I am now leading on this board level where I came in as a case manager.
Okay.
So I had a chance to see it from the front desk of an AJC all the way to the board that now oversees policies and wow. approve budgets.
Wow.
And all the things that I felt like have brought baldness to me.
We bald now, right?
Yeah.
Head
I embrace it, I love it for sure.
Right. Yes, absolutely, man. And speaking of, and you did mention a layoff, and you guys, you heard like what he do. You heard who he is and what he does. And I think that, especially for black men, and I'm in my 40s, but if you're in your 30s, that's kind of like a huge transitional period mm-hmm. in manhood, right? And you hear a lot about, man, you're going to have fun in your 20s, mm-hmm. man. You're going to do all the things.
40.
And party. And in your 30s, things get a little more serious, mm-hmm. right? Because you're getting closer to middle age.
Yeah.
And with what you do and who you are, man, I want to ask you, what does success mean to you as a black man? What does it mean to you, and has your definition of success evolved over the years, man?
I'm gonna start with what I thought it meant.
Okay.
I think
that's good.
Small town, limited exposure, for
wow.
sure. Like my
wow.
first time flying on a plane was me going to college.
Are you serious?
Wow. Yeah, so wow. limited exposure. And so for me, what we saw in my community, or we heard, was be a doctor, be a lawyer, right?
Right.
And you know, I didn't have the grades for either of those, right?
Okay.
And so I kind of defined it that way. I think as we say in the HBCU world, matriculated. Life.
Yes.
I have redefined success.
Come on, matriculate.
I have really redefined it for me about I think making it out a prince.
Okay.
And this is no shade intended, it's the facts.
Yeah.
That in
absolutely.
My small hometown,
mm-hmm.
what they viewed and what I viewed as success was give me a good job that paid
okay.
at least $15 an hour, get me, you know, a nice mobile home, and a time I bought shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I saw growing up, right? And so, no shade intended to those who have those things, obviously. But I really wanted for me to look a little different,
mm-hmm.
but didn't know how it looked, for
okay.
sure. And so, for me, beyond my accolades, my career, success for me is about being a bridge builder.
Yes.
Or a bridge connector, or being what I call a hope dealer.
Okay.
And
okay.
it's about giving people an avenue and a space to reach their full potential.
Mm-hmm.
And so workforce development found me, I didn't find it, it truly found me.
Wow.
And the fact that I now have been in a space to now help people navigate.
Okay.
To find careers that some are paying six figures, some are not, obviously. But knowing that I can now help guide and direct where needed, of course. That's probably one version of it. The other version of success for me has been centered around going back and getting those that who didn't have the opportunity, whether it's financially or not, to really tread this pathway. And there's some people that I have went and got back, and it's hurt me for sure.
Okay.
But we ain't got back to say, come on, let's make some money, still have fun, but thrive with it.
So how did that hurt you, if you can share?
There's some people that who came into this professional space that I've worked and worked in who had no experience.
Okay. Gotcha.
But who I saw
was
that I came in years ago, no experience at all either. And when they climbed to the top and I was rooting for them privately or publicly, I saw them turn on me.
Wow.
And that hurt. Yeah, for sure they hurt it.
Yeah.
The people that who I consider to be their sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sponsors are people, Raymond, that who are having conversations about you while you're not in the room.
Yeah.
And these are people who I was advocating for mm-hmm. promotions and advocating for opportunity and for pay.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got it and when I made a decision that did not align with what they wanted, I seen them turn me. And so that reversely had me scarred
mm-hmm.
to a degree. And then I had built up these walls that I didn't want nobody to touch mm-hmm. because of a experience.
Wow. Yeah. And I can imagine specifically being from small town, small community, how you kind of got successful. You got successful and to reach back to people.
And honestly, I don't think I'm there yet.
Right. That's the thing too, with all the accolades that you described and all the things that you said, people that you grew up with or people that you went to school with, they'll see that in our community mm-hmm. as successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you reach back, hey, I want to kind of, you know, help people and give people, and then they kind of come back around to like, damn, like
mm-hmm.
you like really fucked over position that you, the opportunity that you had, and it didn't, you know, pan out the way it was supposed to be. And learning people through that, but what you're saying, you love people, and you love to help people and bridge humans, if you will. How did you going through that, the low side of it, you know, you going through the hurt, how did that alter your mindset dealing with people? How did you adjust with the boundaries, if you will?
Good word, boundary, for sure. Raymond, I love hot food.
Mm-hmm.
And although when I eat maybe something that's steaming hot and I have
steaming hot, have a
bad side effects to it, it does not push me away from trying again.
Okay.
But what I have done is when I have some hot greens, some food, right, I blow them, right?
Okay, he's such a preacher. Shut up. He's such a preacher, yeah.
I blow a little bit, you know, that blowing, it helps me to remember it's hot.
Yes.
I still want it right top, right? So I feel like people, but I had to really redefine boundaries, and I had to redefine who these individuals are when they come into my space,
mm-hmm.
and which is should be a safe space, right? And so on one end of it that I shared with you a few months ago, friends,
mm-hmm.
It looks a certain way for me.
Okay.
And it feels a certain way.
Okay.
Colleagues, it looks a certain way.
Okay.
It feels a certain way. Dating.
Okay.
Looks a certain way. It feels a certain way. And so when people don't show up in those spaces and how it feels for me, comfortable
mm-hmm.
or whatever, or if I can't receive it, I have to then readjust and say, are you a safe place to be in?
Wow.
And so I had to re assess is a good strong word, I guess I use, people.
Mm-hmm.
And to determine, yeah, you cool, we jive well, but are you safe? So can I really be my full self? And so my friend circle has with me here, Tahir, a very small circle, who truly know Brian, because I can't afford in this season to show up in spaces that I don't really feel safe in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can still love you, but I love you in a way that I've created boundaries so that you cannot touch my heart.
Wow.
In a way that would do more damage in the long run.
Okay. And being in your mid to late 30s, I know a lot of the viewers, specifically black male, a lot of my black male viewers are in like between 30 and 50,
okay.
Like that range. And so
prime years.
Yeah, prime years, right? Yeah. Prime years. With you saying all of these pieces, did like from the beginning of your 30s to where you are now, if you could go back and tell like that 31-year-old Brian something, what would you tell him?
Live.
Wow.
Man, yes. And literally fuck anybody that who tell you otherwise.
Wow.
I'm not really cussing though, but
you good. You're
but
good.
That space for me.
It's safe. It's safe. Yeah,
safe spaces, right?
Yeah, it's safe. It's safe. Yeah.
I think I was so concerned in my 30s, and had to really grow out of that space, with really being a people pleaser. I think we all are to a degree, whether we say it or not.
Absolutely.
But really learning how to, for one, like, please Brian, for sure. What makes Brian really happy, and then going from there.
Wow. And you, I'm kind of rearranging, like, just the interview for a second, because you said something that struck something in me. I'm a recovering people pleaser.
Okay.
I'm a recovering people pleaser, and I know the journey of what that looks like. And it does not attribute all the way to this, but I know, I feel like a lot of what attributes to us is growing up in the Bible Belt.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to ask you specifically, kind of switching gears just a little, because you said that, what impact has the Bible Belt shaped your view or outlook on success, and has it transitioned from what you thought it would have been?
I wouldn't say that the Bible Belt has shaped my views.
Okay.
I think it probably gave more clarity, for okay. sure. I am a visionary, so I hold visions and hold them very strong, and hear my heart to this day. I've had this vision probably since I was maybe 9 or 10.
Okay.
When I see a black Tahoe or a black SUV with tint windows, I've always thought that was me in the backseat.
Wow. Really?
Literally to this day, I was getting here and saw one as well. And who I felt in that seat was in the back was me, of course.
Like on the back seat of the vehicle, like police put you in the back seat.
No. You know, so when you see the president, VP, a congressman.
Gotcha. When I see a black Tahoe, I think, oh, this is an undercover police.
Yeah. I'm afraid. Maybe a black SUV with a government tag.
Gotcha.
I think it was me, right? And so I felt there's always a calling on my life to lead. And didn't know how it looked. I never really, I would say believe, but I would prophesy to my senior year in college, and went to a service. The guy's hand after the service, whatever, head out, me and my homeboys, and the guy grabbed my hand, but he said, "Don't leave."
Wow.
I'm like, to be told, we can go ahead, you know, out to the club, you know. And like, I want to go with her, you know, but I waited and all that. And he said that I reminded him of Abraham Lincoln.
Oh.
That's okay, I'm not tall. Definitely not white. He said Abraham Lincoln left the small town of Delaware on a train.
Okay.
And he had a few stops in the middle, and he ended in D.C. And he said that you have left the small town apprentice. He had no idea who I was.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was from.
Wow.
And he said, you're on a train and you have a pit stop in Jackson. And it's gonna feel like home.
Okay.
But you have another stop in the south. Not sure where yet, but you have a few more stops along the way.
Wow.
He said that you are going to go places that your parents dreamed about and read about.
Wow.
That you're going to be at the table at an age young, making decisions, impactful decisions about careers and XYZs. And that just kind of hold to me. And when he said apprentice, I'm like, this man don't know who I am.
Wow, he said, like, that would mess you up. Like, what? Like, how you know me?
I just been, and this is maybe a prophetic moment I'm having, I guess. God is breaking protocol.
Yes.
In this season, to his children. And it is our responsibility, for those of us who believe, of course, to ask God for the unthinkable.
Mm-hmm.
And the unimaginable.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it is, I have, like, personally went to him in prayer, and I've asked God some things I've been wanting, and there's some things that I have been wanting to be at over a few years, and I have literally ran and seen him break protocol for me. I am 35, mm-hmm. And I am one of the highest leaders and workforce development in this region, unthinkable.
Wow.
Like, where I'm at now are spaces that my parents will retire from. And so oftentimes, I say that I'm in my, I used to say breakfast stage, but I'm in my lunch stage of my career.
Okay.
And so, Raymond, this is what lunch feels like.
Wow.
I haven't had dinner, no dessert. No, my hot coffee, my hot tea yet either.
Right.
And so, just being we've been honored and honored in the fact that God has chosen to bless me with this level of trouble.
Wow. Wow. Thank you for those pieces of your story. And I asked specifically about Bible Belt, you said something specifically, God is breaking protocol with you. So I think that with growing up in the Bible Belt, you know, I grew up right here in Memphis, Tennessee, but so much of our ideology, so much of our alignings, if you will, is so like, it has to be like what everybody else's look like. And so if you're in a position to where a creator breaks your protocol, you know, being able to hear that and being able to see that, okay, it's a little different from what everybody else has looked like, and having the courage to move that way, that takes a lot.
It does. I think showing up in these spaces, for me, and then really encouraging friends and myself to show up full. Show up as young as we show up as authentic, how that feels for you and look for you, whether it's even in a queer space, right? Really owning those spaces and really showing up and being really unapologetically about who we are in these spaces and still leading strong and leading proud. Wow. And I think I've seen that be a disconnect for a lot of friends. And myself in some ways too, who was really afraid to really lead. Because I think being in the spotlight sometimes, it feels good until it starts to burn. And so now it's burning, and I said, well, I want to choose. I don't want it anymore. But when you decide to step into these lights, know that's like he going to get you a little bit, right?
Yes.
But really showing up as your full, authentic self, no matter how it feels, you know? And I think that's been a space that I am slowly... and I'll be honest with you, getting comfortable in.
Yes.
I feel like that there's moments I can't mess up.
Wow.
I have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then I look at my counterparts, some of those who are white, who show up and mess up every day.
Yes.
And so there's a stigma out there that we have to be 10 times better. But why?
Right. And I appreciate and honor your experience, man. You mentioned queer, and you mentioned, of course, we're Black. And so being in these spaces, like, that's a extra level. Yeah. That's the intersectionality of it all. You know what I'm saying? Having multiple experiences. And so I think that, to speak to your point, we're so used to batting out of the spotlight and just not... Like, you notice, like, this being a Black man, you see guys. What's up, man? Man, stand out the way, bro. Yeah, I'm staying out the way. I don't want the light. I don't want that. Right. And so, you know, we're so used to not being in the light. Mm-hmm. And so with that, I think what's a disadvantage for us is that not even when we're up, but when we're lowest, people don't see that, and we don't share those experiences. And so if you would share some of your moments where you question what success was, you question, like, God, what's up, bro? Like, dang, like some of those moments that, because we're so used to successes and wins, and if we're winning, it's God, if we're losing, it's the devil. No, but we both know some of the most defining moments are in the lows, or in the losses. So if you at 35, if you can share with another 35-year-old that's watching, male or female, what are some of the things that you could share you've learned in your lowest moments?
For one, the devil can't do anything that God has not allowed. I said again, the devil cannot do anything that God does not allow. Wow. And so because it's happened, God has to allow it, and there's a plan at the end of it for sure. Very brief, high level. I've always been leadership at a young age, and that's never been not normal for me. I was a deputy director for a major workforce agency that was out of state but had a contract here in Memphis.
Okay.
And so I talked to you about how now on this board level, I oversee it all.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to, I was on the, what we call the provider level.
Okay.
I was leading the team on the ground who's doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
Now I lead directors who's leading their teams for sure.
Okay.
I got very burnt out.
Okay.
I was managing 6 to 7 different programs and departments.
Mm-hmm.
Got burnt out, and I'm tired. My boss at the time, who still remained a great friend, decided to leave. Okay. And so I felt the panic, and I left as well.
Wow.
I knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who would.
Knew somebody.
And I got a job working at another cybersecurity firm.
Okay.
As their manager of operations and recruitment for their Memphis and Nashville locations. I get there, Raymond, and day one, I said, this isn't it.
Okay.
But I had bills to pay.
Yeah, bills to pay.
And so I had to figure it out. And so I went to the HR guy and told him, hey, this is not what I was told I'll be doing. It's a little different. How can we just come to a happy medium? Because I didn't tell that person that, but I wasn't finding fulfillment in that role. A week later, I was fired.
Wow.
Nobody had prepared me for that level of loss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Brian Wilkes.
Yeah. Right.
And that doesn't mean
what the hell? People, yeah.
But to me, my name is so powerful
mm-hmm.
alone for my mm-hmm. own self, that I was fired.
Mm-hmm.
And I was cool. I had a little bit saved up.
I remember
yeah. that. I found a job. Yeah. Like, I was a deputy director for a program in workforce development. So I got all these contacts, I find something. So for the first month, really, I just cheated. I rested for sure. Second month, look for jobs. Okay, cool. Third month, okay. Fourth month, savings run low.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm using credit cards now to make mm-hmm. things meet.
Mm-hmm.
And I applied for like 150 jobs.
Wow. Wow.
And
y'all hear that? This man applied for 150 jobs. This is Brian Wilkes.
Yes.
he applied for 150 jobs. And I think, and I'm going somewhere with this, Brian, because I think it's important right now for the 35-year-old man who's watching this podcast, who is very, who has, you know, who has degree, who's degree, who's used to a certain thing. And now in 2025, life is just not looking the way you thought it would look. And it's kind of like well, let me not speak for you. What emotions in those moments, what are two or three of the heaviest emotions that you felt in those moments?
I was there. So I'm in this phase, and so now I'm 6 months unemployed.
Okay.
I had to then, this was a humbling experience. I had to go back to the agency and the team that I was managing and leading to file unemployment.
Wow.
And to file for unemployment.
Right. Wow.
Right.
Wow.
And that was a humbling experience.
Jesus.
But guess what? That was my test. I feel like that God would not have elevated me to where I'm at now if I would have humbled myself to go back and ask for help.
Wow.
And so I went to a place as director of workforce, we call it Teamworks, to a place called Agape.
Okay.
Agape Child and Family Services.
Yeah.
And they took a risk on me, and I took a risk on them, and they hired me. I get to Agape and I am professionally broken.
Wow.
And hurt.
So this is 6 months after.
So this is after. August now of 2023.
Right. And so you've been unemployed all this time.
I was unemployed from March of 23 to
August.
Yeah, I started like mid-August at Agape.
Okay.
And it was a sign that I needed to be somewhere. It was there in that moment.
Okay.
Because I needed to be loved.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And what a place to be loved than a place called Agape.
Wow.
The Agape love. Wow. So Agape loved on me. They hugged me. And we made history together for sure. But I did know in my season there that I was there to make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
But not stay long.
Okay.
And so then I came to this board level and then leaders were from here. Well, you asked a question I want to answer. You said three something.
I knew you was going to be. I felt it. We're in the zone. I wanted to ask you what are specifically, because I'm a transformation coach. And I wanted to ask you because I know it's important that we kind of get to the, we continue to get to the meat. Like what were you feeling those 6 months? If you had to name your three heaviest emotions as a black man, as a black achieved man, what are three emotions that you felt most?
The heaviest was I was depressed, severely depressed.
Wow.
I got mad at God.
Wow. So you're angry?
Very.
Angry.
Because he told me that he would supply all my needs.
Mm-hmm.
And my needs was to be working my field where I love, and I wasn't doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last thing, I felt disappointed.
Okay.
Not really God in that moment, being honest with myself, because I felt like I had left the previous job where I was deputy at prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
And I left, and then I felt I had to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember asking God if you could get me back to the heart of the work. I promise you, I consult you from moving forward. Wow. I didn't pray when I left. I just left. It felt good. It was paying the exact salary range I was making. I'm like, I'm out. I'm gone. And when I say follow your heart and trust your gut, Raymond, the first day at that job, I said, this isn't it.
Wow.
This isn't it. But yeah. Definitely depressed, angry, disappointed.
What did you learn about yourself? When I want you to specifically go to that time in 2023, because we go through, right? And in those moments, it's like, okay, God, what's up, bro? Like, what's up, man? Like, and I think those are defining moments. And because when we walk out our door every day as black men, we have to show up a certain way. We have to show up, you know, like we got it together. Mm-hmm. You know, you still live life. You still operate. Yeah. You were still going places. You were still like living.
And right, that's crazy. People didn't even know it.
They didn't even know it.
My mom, who I would call every day, did not know that her baby boy wasn't working until like June. Because I had mastered masking it.
From January to June.
Like imagine
your mama
masking, faking.
Mm-hmm.
Like that long, it becomes a norm.
Yes. Oh yes. Yes.
And so I'm like, I masked it, and I would literally, I tell my old colleagues, oh, bro, let's grab lunch. I would get up and put on a full suit, go downtown, and have a cocktail, have lunch, and go back home and cry.
On Monday, you don't even know how you gonna get it tomorrow.
But,
I don't even know how I'm gonna get it tomorrow, but I'm gonna show up, right?
I'm gonna show up. And I had to really redefine, reshape, Brian, this ain't cool, bro. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think he was trying to fit an image,
trying to hold up to a name
that I was accustomed to feeling and seeing. And so I learned a lot in that space for sure about me.
So even now, if you had to speak to black men that's watching, like what advice would you give to another black man striving to find their lane right now? And they're not even working or they're not working the job that they think they should have. What advice would you give with those experiences now? Looking in hindsight, what advice would you give to another man or a woman who's watching about finding their lane?
Really going back to reassess.
Okay.
We do that a lot in workforce development. Okay. Reassess every new client to determine what are the pain points.
Wow.
And so I had to take what I knew professionally and put it in my personal life. So I had to really reassess and examine me as a whole and redefine those pain points for me. And I had to ask myself, is this really what I want to be? So I would say the first thing is really sitting down and having those hard truths about I got a degree, I'm doing this, but does this really bring me passion and joy? If that doesn't, it's really redefining what brings you passion and joy. I wake up every day. No cap. And I literally enjoy what I do.
Yes.
I won't get paid for sure.
Yes.
But I literally enjoy what I do. So even in my current role where a good friend who was my director in a previous role became the director in this new organization, and she was terminated. Not even a full two months. When we get there, and although I came to my own growth, I came to learn from her as well. And I was like, oh my goodness. So, and as I questioned myself, is this where I'm supposed to be at? And I would say going back to what God told me.
Yeah.
And so although it may not look the way it needs to look and feel, knowing that God is still in the midst. And I think going back to if God told you to move, you got to move. And so I think a lot of us, me at the time, I was really big on the image of it.
Okay.
And so I needed to be the director. I needed to lead the people. I needed to have all these things. And that's who I was, a leader.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to really go to a deep place and really ask myself, Brian, what really brings you joy?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that did not bring me as much joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to redefine that. And so now I'm at a place now where I'm at my happiest.
Wow.
And I know I'm at my happiness because that is so much uncertainty and transition over the past 6 months. And the fact that I still show up with this level of gratitude around really being what I call a hope dealer.
Wow.
Dealing hope to people who lost it along the way. Shameless plug here, but anybody looking for the opportunities and just trying to figure out, like, what do I do next? I'm not saying that I am the all be all, but
you that dude, you that dude.
I definitely love to connect you to people in spaces that I've met along the way.
Yes,
and I think that's what success is about.
Yeah,
it's about connecting the dots for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I may not have a passion for HR or have the beats for HR, but you may have that, right? I can connect you and put a word in, obviously, for some with someone who may have that experience, of course. But I think for me, or I know for me, I am only here because of God, obviously, of course. There was a lady, and her name is Lori Jackson Evans.
Okay.
And she lived in Memphis. Hey, Lori, LJ. And I had lost my job in Mississippi.
Okay.
And Lori had came from Memphis in her top.
Okay, wow.
And packed up my apartment.
Wow.
And brought me to Memphis, Tennessee in December 27th of 2017.
Wow.
And I was only going to be for 6 months.
Wow.
And I'm still here. And so she's my Memphis mom.
I never knew that. Sure.
But I wasn't supposed to be in Memphis at all.
Wow.
Somebody came and got me.
That's how you got me.
And so because somebody came and got me and saved me, it's my responsibility to move to other people.
Wow.
And save them as well in spaces they feel like they're winning, right? And so, like, but I would say I've learned to be very careful with that, because taking a person to new levels, if they don't have the attitude and the breathing to get there, although your heart is good, you can still kill them on the way.
Wow.
And so there's some people I had to leave midway.
Okay.
Some people I carried the full throttle away. Mm-hmm. Some we are still carrying each other together. And so really going back, like I said, I love people and love helping. I'm a hope dealer. It's really going back because right when I tell you, layoff is a norm now. I've been through it three times.
Okay.
I was in it when I left Jackson, Mississippi, moved to Memphis 6 months into my job in Memphis, laid off again, and then quit a job, and then got fired from a job, and then left a job on my own as well, too. I felt it and seen in different spaces.
Mm-hmm.
That for now, that level does not bother me as much as it did. And so I think TDJ said it, is now being at a level one again, but on a whole new level.
Wow.
So yeah, so right now I'm still another student, forever student for sure.
Forever,
I am, although I'm leading this massive team in this region, I'm still a student at level one, but just doing it on a different level.
And that's good that you said that leading to kind of the end because where you are, acknowledging that you're still a student, bro. You know what I'm saying? And
probably
and that's something that I definitely acknowledge, that I will be a forever student as well. You know, and even in the moment, to be able to acknowledge that. Not as you're a student, there's somewhat of a, and I don't think they teach, I don't know, you know, I've never been to college, you have, you got your degree, man, but it's a piece of a hustle that you have to have, so, and a hustle that you, so if you're not where you feel like you're supposed to be, or if you're not at a space to where you can say you're doing what you love, like you said, Like, and you're doing something right now that requires you to straight hustle. I'm doing this because I got bills to pay. I'm doing this because I got a condo to pay. I got babies to feed. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you manage that hustle mentality and also still looking for, like, your purpose, looking for your lane? Like, how did you manage that, man?
So going back to 2023, 6 months, wasn't working. Had a good friend who had a pipe and brake company.
Okay.
And like they were having like gigs like almost every other day. And so I was hanging pipes and brakes.
Okay.
Literally to make ends meet. So unemployment was doing this thing. I had a little bit of savings as well too. And then this Monday middle just kind of like balanced things out. I think the hustleness, it allowed me to enter into agape.
Okay.
Tremendously humble.
Yeah. Because when you're hustling, like, I got to get it.
You got to get it. And so the Brian prior to all of that was like, I'm Brian Brooks. Like, I'm the director. Like, and I had to even say that out loud because I felt like, you put a snob, bro. Like, it's crazy. But now, looking back now, I remember going to Agape, and it was a very humbling experience where I was leading a team, and I was like on the ground with them, really wanting to understand their work, and really asking what I call the main question in every meeting I had with them, how's your soul? Because their soul, for me, was so important. Because if your soul isn't right, then how can you really help people? I hustled literally, like, I was like hustling, like even like at some point doing little small Uber drives, you know, trying to find work. And what I found out, I go back to it, is that I was applying for jobs and I was really like overly qualified. So they kept saying like, he got all the experience. So they was telling me to dummy down my resume. And I just couldn't do it. Wow. If you want to hire me, you need to know who you're hiring. And that's basically, it's the best for sure. And so I hustled for sure, man. And I knew what the end game was. So in that immediate moment, my hustle wasn't for career. It was paying bills.
Wow.
It was really to live, right? But then, like, I was spending, like, 8 in the morning, 12 noon. Like, what did I say? 9 in the morning, 12 noon. Every day, like, online looking for jobs. To almost a point that I almost left Memphis, right? And so if you hustling out there, like I said, keep hustling, knowing that the hustle game for you right now, if it's your piece, is really to pay bills. But then, like, what is the end game?
Yeah.
And then, so if you hustling no end game, like, you just out there exercising and still eating wings and fries and drinking liquor, right? Like, there's deep meaning to it. And so, like, if you're going to hustle, do it for sure. But then what are you doing in the downtime of that hustle that gets you closer to whatever that end game looks like for you?
Yes.
And so, and I think we never get to the end game, to death. But like, what does the next level look like to you, right? And so I call it like, what does your way forward look like? So yeah.
So this may be hard, and we're wrapping, people. This has been an incredible episode, Brian. I definitely got to have you back. If you had to describe success in one word, I'm gonna give you a second to think about that word. Because for me, success in my one word is fulfilled. And when I say fulfilled, I mean my purpose. I mean what I'm sent here for. I honestly, you know, Giving you a moment to think. I know you probably ready right now. But I'm gonna tell you something seriously. Like, success for me, like, and I've been a realtor and a barber for a number of years. And I've made a lot of money doing so. But success for me today is work that I do with my nonprofit and the reach. Yes. And the reach that I am, the reach and impacting young black men, like, that's success to me. If I can reach one more, you know? And so for me, if I can reach one more, that's fulfillment for me. And that's what success looks like for right now. So and bills gonna still be here, right? Money still needed, you know, but for me, success looks like fulfillment. So if you can answer that question in one word, what does success look like for Brian?
That's a tough one, man.
I know.
I'm waiting for that one.
I know.
But for me, balance.
Wow.
I never had desire to be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
It was go, 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 go.
Wow.
Knowing that now, literally, love my job, y'all. I show up every day, 8 to 5. And I don't show up a minute early, 7 minutes late.
Wow.
At 5 o'clock.
You out.
Sometimes at 4:30, man.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
Yeah.
And when I leave the office, whether I'm at home working and I close that door or that laptop, I am done with at least that business of work for the day.
Yeah.
And it has really helped me to really balance my mental space.
Wow.
Because you can carry this work on. Because it's not heavy work for me. Well, it is heavy. It's heavy. And because it's so heavy, because I choose to carry it,
mm-hmm.
I have to be able to not plateau. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you go to the gym, you're lifting weights, and you're doing the same routine, you know, for months, and you plateau.
Yeah.
And then you start losing, you start bucking, coming to the right. But when you have a balance, and you're gonna do today, like me tomorrow morning at 6, I'll be hitting upper body. Wednesday, I'm hitting, you know, legs, you know, and lower body. And then Friday, it's a full body, right?
Yeah.
And then what I'm doing for this month and more, it completely changes.
Wow.
Right? And so balance for sure. And our last piece, what really drives me in this work, what I do as a person, is to see that mother with 4 kids who caught the bus to the American Job Center to find work. And now she is one of the plant managers to this day at a well-known advanced manufacturing company here in Memphis. That she was my first client.
Wow, I love that.
And who I saw in her was not really a client, but I saw my mom in her, and I saw me and her children.
Wow, wow.
And so because I understand that when I lost my job in Mississippi, I went to a WIN job center and got no help. And I wasn't really sure of how I wanted to be impactful, but I found my love through her.
Wow.
And I ended.
Wow. I love that, B. I love your story, man. Thank you so, so much for coming on. Y'all, this is my boy. And I know a lot of y'all going to ask me, like, how can this man put me on to a job? How can he put me on? I'll have his information on the page on the site when you look for him. But thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
I love you, brother. Thank you for your openness. Thank you for your transparency. And I will have you back.
I'm excited.
This is your first podcast. You did great. You did great.
Shout out. I'm gonna say this, man. You may have heard me say a lot, shout out. And it has come a norm. In my season of not working, and I call it my reshaping season for sure.
Wow.
Because sometimes it's kind of hard to regroup and refocus with noise. And so
yes.
I was listening to a YouTube channel, like literally on the balcony at home one night, and I saw this podcast where this guy said that I've heard for years the Bible verse, no weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Form against you shall prosper. And he said, but I did not understand that when he said that no weapon formed,
mm-hmm.
because its form is already here.
Uh-huh.
And he ended by saying, Shakahi. And so it stayed with me for sure.
Yeah, it stayed with you. Okay.
But I had to understand that no weapon formed against Brian Wilkes shall prosper. However it looks. And so I'm in my third door season.
Wow.
And I'm stopped for real. And so there's three doors. There's three doors, right? And so the first door, Raymond, is what we all know as our manual door.
Mm-hmm.
It's the door that we have to convince people who we are,
mm-hmm.
that we can do this work. It's proving our relevancy to people, of course. Been there, done that. The second door is what I call that revolving door. But that door is tricky because it's open.
Yeah.
But if you miss your moment, you miss your mark.
Miss your mark.
But my mom would say, you miss your moment, you miss God.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in those spaces where I was outdoor, amazing opportunity from the viewpoint, but I questioned, should I go in or go not go in? I was hurt professionally, mm-hmm. right? In person, it's a ways too. And I'm at a door now where I'm at my automatic door.
Okay.
Where there's a sensor.
Come on.
That has caught my presence,
mm-hmm.
and my presence alone, like at Kroger's and Walmart, it opened up just for me.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. the success for all of that is that there's some people around me that although they could come up to that door and open them as well too, but because I walked in first,
yeah,
it made this a little bit easier for them to walk in behind me. And now they have this full of blessings of what they want to get out of the store. And so when I tell you, brother, I am tremendously humble,
yes.
And grateful to be a young, black, gifted, unapologetically bald-headed man in this city that love on me.
Yes.
Memphis is a place I call that if you love on her, she'll love you back. And I'm here on a whole level, on a whole hug.
Yeah.
Those folks saw me, and they hugged on me, they loved on me, and I stayed. And so my experience have been really about coming to spaces hurt.
Yeah.
And left out a little more loved, wow. a little more appreciated,
yes.
and a little more humble.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for that, y'all. Y'all want to come see me preaching? He's gonna be preaching next. I was just like, no. But thank you so much, man. I honor your experience, man. Thank you for coming on, y'all. Now, this is a bridger. This is a bridger, and I'm just grateful for this moment. I'm grateful for our connection and for us to continuously build, bro. And thank you so much for watching this episode of Ray Bridging Him. This is the place where the people get to hear you. And the world get to see it. Love you, family. See y'all next week.